All right, we're here for Homeschooling for Him, Part 2, Be Warm and Be Filled. And this is the practical aspects of homeschooling for Him. In case you don't know that scripture verse, be warm and be filled is when you don't just say, hey, have this homeschooling thing for Him and go on and do it, and we don't give you the practical way of doing it. It says feed them and clothe them and don't just send them on their way with a blessing. So that's what we want to do. We want to prepare you and equip you to do it easily so that you're not struggling through. So we're going to share some things today. But before we do, let's go ahead. This is lesson 4. Did I already say that? The bread of idleness. Okay, so let's go ahead and begin with prayer. Lord, we just thank you for today. We thank you for your awesomeness, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we can come before you. We thank you for all that you're doing in these ladies' lives, Lord, in my life. And I pray, Lord, that it is touching and transforming the families that are homeschooling for you, Lord. God, you are so faithful. We thank you for it. Be with us today. And I just pray that it would change the lives of those and bring order to the homes of the homeschooling mothers that are watching today. We praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, first of all, I'm going to talk about disorder. And most of us want to have a clean house. We want to have an orderly house. We want to have one that runs smoothly. But most of us do not. And that's the fact. Mostly, I would say that it's from too much of just doing everything in the home and then outside. And really, I'm really trying to help with this is to call you to come home. We're all out today, but the rest of the time that we want to see how much that we can do to stay in our home, because the homes that are empty are the ones that are crumbling, and the ones that just come in and then they're going out, and it's just constantly just a train station where people are coming and connecting and that kind of stuff. It is just causing instability in the home, and so we need to do more of that. I wanted to share with you because I really was kind of ignorant to it, but over the last few months, and I don't think it was by chance, but I've had opportunities to go in and go to some people's homes recently, mostly out in my area, and I have been absolutely, utterly shocked at what I have seen, because I assumed that their homes were basically what mine were, and I couldn't believe, not just disorder, but in many times just filth and things, and I'm wondering, how could they possibly live like that? And a lot of them were homeschooling families, and you could see they couldn't even begin to homeschool there. And I thought about them. I thought about the husbands who are providing for those families, and they're making an income for them to be what? You know, to come home to this, and then you wonder why those families are falling apart. And so it's very important that if we're a stay-at-home mom, we need to be at home most of the time, unless we go as a family or things like that. And it's very easy as homeschoolers to get caught up in field trips or outside activities, because there's so much that we can do, and it's like, wow, we got to do this, and wow, we got to do that. But I will just tell you this. One, make sure your house is in order. Get it in order. That's what we're going to talk about, some ways to get it in order through the next few classes. Get your homeschooling in order so it runs smoothly. And then just make a commitment to this. You're not going to go anywhere and leave that behind. You know, I don't come to church with our beds unmade. As a matter of fact, I prepare them for them to get in, because we come in at 11 o'clock at night, that I get them made and pull them back so that they can come and write. I mean, it's a welcome back, because nobody's going to be coming in between. But I've never left beds unmade or things undone or laundry. I've never gone more than one day without doing my laundry, because that is my job, and I have no business doing that. And probably if the weakest area would be in making sure that we have meals, or, you know, you have that crisis, it hasn't thawed or something like that. And I try and think about that and make sure it doesn't happen again. We're not in the place to jump in the car anymore and go to McDonald's. You know, it's a long way. And so it's like you're going to eat what's there. And so we've had to be better prepared. But having meals, not just for your children, but for your husband, preparing for that, doing special things. So we want to do that. And if your husband is reaping very little, you really need to get a hold of, like we've talked about, the wise woman builds her house, because you are pulling it down. And he is susceptible to things, and marriages are crumbling. Every other one, you know, over 50% are. And so you need to make sure that you get a hold of that and start to renew your mind, and so the ways of the world will start to diminish as you put His word in, and that will just fall away, and you'll get your mind to be like Christ in the way He thinks about the home. And there's a lot about that in Scripture, in Titus and in Proverbs 31. But I want to share, Proverbs 7:11 tells us that a harlot is boisterous and rebellious. Her feet do not remain at home. That is the definition and the description of a harlot. And many of us have become that. It talks about her lurking on the corners and things. They're in the malls, you know? I mean, they are out and about. And you need to be in the home. That's where it is. To gain that stability. I don't know if you've ever noticed or if this is just me, but we live in a place where there's abandoned farms or farmhouses or barns or something. Do you know when they're abandoned, they start to fall apart? Why? You know? I mean, it's not because we're all out there painting our house or do so much, because a lot of us don't. But when there is life in the house, it stands. But when it's abandoned, it doesn't. And that's why a lot are with two-income families, and most of you are not, because you're homeschooling. And that is a good thing. But those that have two-income families, I remember living in places where there was, it was like a ghost town, a whole subdivision, a whole neighborhood, and we were the only ones there. I mean, we would walk, it was just totally abandoned. Beautiful homes. And they were there because there were two incomes. But who's living in it? I mean, isn't that just the devil to mock you? I mean, you have all these things, but nobody uses it. They just sit there, and you come in and out, and you have to work in order to have those things that you're, you know, or that car that's taking you to work. But if you didn't have it, you wouldn't have to go to work. I mean, isn't things are crazy. They really are crazy. And it's like, just sit back. But early on, God gave me a vision about that. He gave me wisdom. How, I don't know. I can only say it's Him. I could be just as foolish and stupid, but I started to think, I don't care anything about those things. I want you, and I want my family, and I don't care, and I've told Dan from the day we married, I don't care if we live in a two-bedroom, one-bedroom, in a bachelor apartment with all our kids. I don't want to leave them. I want us to be together in a family. I want to be there when you get home. I want to be, you know, I want to be a wife and a mother. I love doing laundry. I love all of that. And you know, God tested me. You really mean that, Aaron? And during the time when Dan was gone, I did live that way. We had nothing, and we just had a little two-bedroom apartment. And we lived like that, and we lost our things for 5 years, didn't have anything. And, you know, it was worth it. I mean, and it wasn't suffering. It was, in some ways, easier to clean up. There wasn't anything there, you know. And so, it was a blessing. It was smaller, easy to keep clean. We were able to go out more because there wasn't anything to do in there. And so He tested me on it. And we were mocked for it, too. My brothers and sisters, and they'll never get this tape, so I don't have to worry about it, but my brothers and sisters and stuff, they, and you know, on both sides of the families, mocked us. Why do you live like that? Why do you have all those kids? But you know what? God always has the last word, doesn't He? And you know what? We have all the children. We have all godly children who love the Lord. They're all, you know, good children, that they, you know, they're making things out of their life. You know, they'll be successful because God will make them that, because we have said, we're going to do this, and you use their life. And so when He uses your life, you know, you're successful. And so we have that. We have the biggest home. We have the most things, and we own everything that we've got. That's God. And my family is sitting back going, whoa, what, you know, that was a good game plan. No, it was just, you know, where we had our game, you know, where we wanted it. And a lot of theirs have kind of fallen off, and those things have just kind of crumbled because they didn't have their eyes on the Lord. They didn't invest in Him and in what's going on. And what we have here, I don't even care about. I don't even care about our riches. Our real riches are in glory. And so if we have nothing here, that is okay. Less to clean up, less to dust, you know? I mean, it's a wonderful thing. And so, just let's remember what we have, and don't just, we have all these things, but we're out and about. Let's stay home. Let's enjoy them. Use that home that God gives you. I mean, we have home, we had homeschool, home business, home birth. We had everything going on at that home. I mean, this is the center, and it's alive, and God keeps it alive. As the older woman, yes, I am older. I know you can't really tell, but I am older than most of you. It says in Titus 2:3, older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossip, nor enslaved to too much wine, teaching what is good, that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be dishonored. And for me to be able to teach that and to be able to say it with conviction, I've got to live it first. And that's why God has me here, because he knows I'm really slow in this and I'm easily slipped back. You know, I'm a backslider, so I got to stay on my knees so I don't slide back. And I have to be teaching this all the time and encouraging you so that I can keep doing that, because much is given, much is expected. And so if God's given you a lot, he's expecting that. And if he's given you something, pass it on to someone else. So before we go on to the practical things, if you have fallen short, and we all have, you know, when I'm putting this together, I'm thinking, oh, Lord, forgive me. You know, I've got to get things right again. I've got to go back. I've gotten too much caught up in getting a book published and not enough and investing in my children. You know, to keeping that balance is very, very difficult. You know, he's got a call on my life, but there's all my little calls, and I've got to help them to get their call. And if I'm neglecting them, what have I done? You know, so I have to go back. But if you're in that, in whatever way or many ways, then you need to repent. And you have your encouragement partners. And after the class, take a moment and confess your faults one to another and pray for one another and keep each other accountable. Not beat each other, but, you know, be able to say, oh, man, I failed. And we only ate home once. Or, you know, I mean, I left stuff on the stove and I left for this or whatever. And let's repent and then say, God, help me. Show me. Tell me what to get. What are encumbrances? What do I need to lay aside, you know, to run the race? What is important? What is worthless? What is precious to you? Those are all scriptures. And ask him, because for you to get, okay, now I'm just going to not do this. And I, you know, let him do it. And he will be very clear. And listen to your husband when he says, you know what, I don't think you need to be doing that. And then I say, praise God, I don't. And just get out of it. There's your decision. You don't, you know, that's your answer. Most of you don't, you know, let me do, you know, I know, you know, you don't know. God is leading you. God is leading you, all right? I want to say, by wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. And that's Proverbs 24:3. Good one to memorize. Boys and girls to memorize that too. So we're going to talk about that God is a God of order. We're going to go right into order. And we do want to go through the spiritual aspects of order and go to the root of the problem rather than just trying to prune the fruit. You know, the Lord just showed me, it was this year, you know, it takes me, you know, I'm in my 40s and I think, but you know, when we cut back things instead of going the root, do you know that's pruning? We live on a farm now. We want to prune our rose bushes or our grapevines. We cut them back and they make more fruit. And if that's bad fruit, you're only making bad fruit. You've got to go to the root. And only God can see what's down in there. And most of the root is in here, the root in our heart. If there's bitterness or pride, it's almost always when pride, I heard, is the bottom of it all. And so it's, you know, keep searching and go down so you can get to the very end and start to ask God to pull that root out or to kill that root in there. God's word says in James 3:16, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. I want to tell you one of the most, this was several years ago, but I went to a woman's house and I had never seen a house in more disorder in my entire life. My son who works camera, he knows who we're talking about. She had piles everywhere of clothing. She would rebuy things because she would come in and not take the things out of the bag and then put things on top of it. And we came in to try and help her to get that way. And so we worked several days to get her house in order so she could live in it. She was attempting to restore a marriage, you know. A husband couldn't even find a place to sit down to even come in. And so she wasn't dirty. She wasn't filthy. She was just disorder. And, you know, what happened was is that shortly after, it didn't take just a few weeks, and it was back exactly the same way. And I thought, God, what is it? And this scripture came to mind, where jealousy and selfish ambition. She was jealous of the other woman who is now involved in her wife. There probably were other jealousies prior to that, jealous of maybe, who knows. But selfish ambition, she was very self. She was a very self person. When she used to come to class, she used to do her nails while I would be talking. And in the midst of this, and it was very disrupting, but as she was doing those kinds of things, I would be talking, and then all of a sudden she'd hear something she wanted to hear, and she'd stop me and make me repeat it. You see, there was just a total self. And, you know, there's an extreme, but some of us have some of this. maybe all of us have a little bit of it, where there's a selfish ambition, that is the root of the disorder in your home. It's the root of it. And so you need to do that. Maybe it's a power struggle because your husband's saying he wants this or that, and you're saying, I want this selfishness. When my husband was gone and I didn't have a husband anymore, the Lord started to show me ways I had been rebellious and I didn't even know. My husband used to work in retail clothing, and I never did, but I had thought of my own system, and I had everything facing the same way, sorted by colors, you know, by things. I mean, my closets were just great. The problem was, is that in retail, you face them the other way. And my husband always said, you know, and he'd hang them up that way, and I'd take them off and put them back. Don't touch my, you know, I'm just, you know, and I have to redo his things. That was rebellion. And so then when I didn't have a husband anymore, you know, I think it was in the middle of the night one night, and the Lord showed me, this is you, Aaron. I went and I turned everything around. I turned everything around, you know, to go the way that he had always said, or somebody had some that she always kept dishes, wait till there was a full sink instead of washing them. And we discussed things. How do we do that? You know, I just put soap on that and wash it and get it out. Put it in the dishwasher. Something, but that is selfishness. That is self. That is pride. That is, this is my kitchen or this is my house and I'm going to do it my way. But you're going to find that you can do all you can, but there's going to be disorder. That is what is going to cause you to stumble. Or maybe it's higher ambitions than what God has for you or for your children. That can cause it. If you're doing that, you're exchanging peacefulness for disorder, and disorder leads to strife, and strife is what's destroying the homes. There's constant friction in things. Proverbs 17:1 says, better is a dry morsel and quietness with it than a house full of feasting with strife. And some of that, some of the things we have are strife. We talked about, you know, Clutter's Last Stand by Don Aslett, and getting that mindset and not buying these things. And when you start giving things away and you say, you know, I spend a lot of money and I'm giving it. I'm not even getting a couple bucks back on a yard sale, but I'm giving it. You think very often about whether I should even accept this. And some things come in from family members, but we're playing the same game. We're buying stuff that they don't need or want and things like that. And, you know, praying that you could put that to better use or whatever, you know. And so we're not cluttered with those things. But those things are going to cause strife. When we have clutter in our house, as a matter of fact, if we are sitting around and my husband just can't, he's like, okay, we got to get up and clean. As soon as the last bite, and you know, the little ones, how they just go on and on and on, you know, they're just eating and we're just watching. And he says he can't stand that. He would get very agitated. He was in a home that was always immaculate. And so if there's just a little bit of things out of order, he starts to get very tense and things. And that's him. And I needed to have that because I need to keep things in order all the time. And so I used to say, well, go ahead and go out for a walk. And when, you know, if it was that way. And I have a method in the Workers at Home, and I'll probably share it, about how to clean up before your husband's coming home, if he's got a time, or if he would just call you before he came home, or for the cell phone, and give you a little time. I've got a method that I don't care what's happened at your house, you can have it that he walks in and it is beautiful. It's a method that I have, and I'll share it with you, because those days happen. But we want to make sure that he comes home to peace, and somebody looking good, we'll talk about that too, okay? Somebody looking good. As best we can. I mean, we can only do with what we've got. But anyway, a little color here, a little, you know. Okay. Let's see. Also, we talked about pride already. Pastor John talked about pride. If you're putting in your children, be careful. We all want to say good things about it, and it's a very hard balance to give them a self-worth. I'm not on self-esteem, but that I think you're wonderful and things and think well of them, but not to get them puffed up. Because that's worse, you know. And so one extreme or another is no good. It says, Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before stumbling. And we are indoctrinating our kids in that. A lot of that is in the workbook for women, you know, the dangers of self-esteem. If you don't know it, you've read books on it. I did too in college. You know, I had that mindset. Get out of it. So many that are coming for ministry, that are, you know, their houses are just, they are so indoctrinated. It's almost like you got to deprogram them. They can't think right. They are so off under the psychology stuff, and it keeps slipping, and it gets into the Bible, and it's like, that is not in Scripture. You don't know this from this. You need to make sure that you renewed your mind enough, know the danger so that you can see it. And some of it, you know, I've had friends that say, you know what, until you told me some of that, some before I read that, and now I can pick it up. And that's what we have to do. We have to be able to pick up those things in there. And so, hey, I don't want to read that, or I don't want to listen to that. So be careful about it. Well, we're going to go ahead and go into the well-run home, and then I'm going to show you some practical things. But the key to a well-run home, okay, this is what I believe. The key is set certain times for rising, certain times going to bed, meal time, schoolwork, chores, and do the same tasks in the same order every day without rush or stress. And that's what I do. Now, let me just say this. Today, obviously, isn't a normal day. And so we have a Tuesday routine and a schedule. We have a Sunday one is different. And so, but you have to have a lot of the same, though. If every day is a different schedule, don't think you're ever going to run smoothly. So the majority need to be that way, and then you kind of work that in. But there's a system, there's a schedule, and there's a routine. And all of mine are extremely flexible because I have to be flexible. I have to be flexible because my husband is there, and he is the head of the house. And so I am never the head of the house. I don't know when the last time he was gone and I was there. I am not the head. This isn't my home. This is his home, and he's there, and I'm under him. And if you want to see if you're a good submissive wife, live like that, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you know, and we're together all the time. Except now, I can be my own boss. That's why I'm bossing you around. No, sit down. I'm not. Anyway, it's all built up. I've got it. No, anyway. So, and I'm always having to be checking, you know, is this all right? And he's not one that always is, you know, and it's a good balance, but that's the way things are, in the same order, in the same time every day. Do you want me to read that again? It is in your notes so that you can read that. Okay. And the next thing that I want to say is she rises. She rises, all caps. Proverbs 31:15, she rises while it is yet night and gives food to her household and a portion to her maidens. Now, I have yet to have a maid. I am still praying for one. I want one just once a week. We can work into this full time. I've got a bedroom set up. No, I'm kidding. But I would love to have, she can have my bed. No, I'm kidding. But anyway, I want her to live there and do all this. You know, the thing is that I like doing it so much. I really don't want, but I'm just, you know, something's got to give here. So, but what gives is my sleep. She rises while it is yet night. I watch the sun come up every morning, you know, and it's a beautiful place to see it. It just lights up the whole sky because of where we are on a hill. It's even behind, I mean, it's in the east and it's in the west. It's pink behind me and it's orange, and I watch that coming up every morning. And I'm up quite a long time before. I'm up before the rooster, who crows at 4:30, 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock, he starts crowing over and over and over again. You kind of shut it out, but rising while it is yet night. And, you know, the interesting thing is, and she says, and gives food for her household. And, you know, that's how I learn that it is not, this is the time to find out what are you going to do for dinner. That's the time to get out. Now, ours, I don't know why, but ours doesn't thaw that well, or it's maybe frozen more. But I really have to do it the night before if I'm going to thaw anything. Now, if I can take it out of the freezer and put it in the crock pot, then it's okay that morning. But I've got to know what is for breakfast, what is for lunch, and what is for dinner. But I do plan a whole month thing, and I'm not sure, but it may be in this. If not, it's in the workers at home, on how to plan a month's meals. And it's not making, you know, food for a month, because my husband, I did that. I saw something. And he just did not appreciate having leftovers every day. That was his comment. I thought I'd done this great thing and I had everything cooked, and we just, you know, he's like, leftovers. Every day is leftovers, you know. But, I mean, he hadn't eaten it before. That was his first time, but that's what it was to him. So I couldn't do that. But I just need to know what's for dinner, you know, and then I plan it. But if you have this month's menu, and it's not every single day, it's not, you know, 28 meals and things, because we do eat out and Sundays we're in here, you know, that type of thing. We have a pizza night, though there's no place to eat pizza now, so now we're making pizza because there isn't a pizza place. By the time it gets home, it's cold, you know, it's too far to go. But it's all planned. And then in the course of a year, you're only eating it 12 times. But I don't know about you, but I mean, I got sick of the things that my mom made, because she made them, you know, Monday and then Thursday again, and then Sunday it was the same thing, you know. And you just get, or you just kind of, oh, this is so great. So you think, oh, I'll make that again. And after the fourth time, your family doesn't want it again. And so this, there's a method to do it. It's in the book, and maybe I'll do that. But that's what I do. I check my menu. What is it? Make sure we've got everything. And right now I'm delegating it to my daughter because I want her to be prepared. Plus, I can use the help. So now she's doing it. But she's not at the point where it's so, in, you know, so I can't just trust that she's going to do that. We've had a few where we didn't have it thawed, and I'm not big on thawing in the microwave and things. So anyway, we have to watch and make sure. But this is something that you can do, and then eventually you can delegate it to your daughter. So we want to talk about that. But in the morning, as you rise before it's yet night, I just said, you know, the first thing I do before I ever get out of bed. Now, if you're one that, first of all, okay, if you're one that as soon as you wake up and you're supposed to be up and you don't get up, you fall back to sleep, don't do it in bed. Get up. Just get up, okay, and don't go back there. Just get up. If your husband is already out of the bed, then make it. Don't make your side while he's in it. Just get up, you know, just get up. But I used to, if he was up first, I'd roll out of bed, get on my knees, and begin to pull that bed up. Then it was closed. You're not allowed to get in there anymore. Those are those nursing, late nursing nights, you know, when you'd finally fallen, gotten an hour straight sleep, you know. And so, but make the bed and then leave like that. Now, as soon as I wake up, the adrenaline starts going, and I would love to be able to go back to sleep, but I can't. That's where I begin my praying, and just giving the Lord my day, my heart, telling him how much I love him, thank him for that day, what do you have for me today, thinking about what he's already done for me, all the blessings, and just have a love talk with the Lord alone before I ever move out of bed. Then I get up, and I have to wash my face. Joyce Meyer says she always had to wash her face before, and I thought, well, that's a good habit. So I've been doing that, and I like to splash that cold water. It works. It really does. You know, splash that cold water on your face. And then, you know, it's the turn on the coffee, check the menu, you know, going through all that, checking emails, prepare breakfast. And I'm going to tell you, you can get 100 times things. You know it before a person wakes up, a child wakes up. Now, I don't know if you're like this, but a little tip. If your children are the type that as soon as mom is getting up, now if they're school age, they go back to bed. As soon as they know that they have to do school that day, they're, you know, they stay in there. Okay, but those little ones, you know, we're up, and it's you know, 4 o'clock in the morning. It's like, go back to bed. I mean, you can't get anything done if they're asking you all the questions and things like that. But what I do is I make sure my bedroom door stays shut. We shut our door at night, and we keep it shut. They have no clue we're gone. And don't keep a light on in there either. Just a little tip. If you're getting up when it's dark, don't turn any lights on, you know, because they know. You know, keep it all like that. And I just sneak out, okay? It took me years to figure this out. You may be already there. So anyway, and also, here's another little tip. This is a wonderful thing, especially if you're, find out from your husband what kind of, well, you should know by now, what kind of a husband is he? Is he the type that wants it clean? I mean, he might want everything, okay, but try and get the top priority first. He wants it clean in the house, or he wants you looking good, greeting him at the door, or he's the type that he wants to smell something cooking. Find out what it is. If he's a meal man, you probably can tell by his size, you know, that would be, well, no, some of them are really thin. They're hungry too, aren't they? Yeah, but anyway, make sure that you have the meal ready for those men coming in, that they can smell it. The first thing they open is this wonderful aroma of something cooking. So make sure, find out what that is and touch that man's heart. Make sure, my husband was, he didn't care about that because he'd be quick to go out to eat anytime, you know, so that wasn't him. And now he's here all the time, so it's not greeting him so much. But he likes the house very clean. And so I've worked that into the schedules of those that clean, and they sweep up, and they have the living room and where our family room and our kids, it's all very, very clean. I'd wash the dishes as I'm going, you know. Everything has to be very, very clean, or it gets very tense. So find out what kind of husband he is, and then make sure you do it. And we do we have a dining room table now, but we set it the night before. As soon as we get done, we clean up, it's reset for the next night. And even if we don't use it, if we're gone or something, it's there, and it's fine, and then we set it. But we have a tablecloth, we have napkins, we have candles, and we do that every night unless we're not there or we're doing something out on the porch or something. But we do that every night, and it's important, and it brings the family together, and they know how to eat properly. That's the time, I'll just throw that in. Don't let your kids get up from the table until you're all up there. They don't talk. They can keep their mouth closed. This is it. You know, I keep a switch right there, and then just try and get up. You know, you're not leaving. Now, there's also a incentive. If they stay, they get to blow out the candle on their end, you know, for the two that won't sit down. So they'll wait until it's time to blow the candle out. But it's, and make it, don't, at first, you know, okay, we can get up and go. But I don't care if that baby's in a high chair. My children would sit through the whole meal. And that's why when we go to restaurants, people go, wow, your kids are so well behaved. Well, that's not the time to say, sit down, right now, you know. Or they're running around, you know, or they're playing Helen Keller and they're eating off of people's plates and stuff. You know, this is terrible. You know, you've got to do it. We're a witness. We're children and grandchildren of the King of Kings, and we've got to have our children well behaved and well dressed and all that. So be careful about that. And then make sure you have your Bible time and your prayer time. If you put it off, you'll never get it done. You'll be too tired at the end. And so doing all of that, seeking the Lord, and then it's Dan's thing is, when do we get up? And it depends on the day. He's in charge. He says, okay, we're getting him up, or I'm going to wait a half an hour, whatever he says. He gives me more time, fine. I'll do more work before they get up. If he says, we're going to do it right now, and I was in the midst of something, that's okay too. I'm just happy that he's directing things and I don't have to think about it. So those are kind of the foundation. And the Bible says in Proverbs 31, an excellent wife who can find. Well, you can't find her because she's still in bed. So ladies, get up in the morning and go to bed earlier if you can. My husband's the kind that he's a late person. And so for a long time, I just decided that was my lot in life. That was my cross. And so I live with sleep deprivation, you know, and weird mood swings because I didn't get enough sleep and things. But what happened was is I started praying, and God made him, and now he cannot sleep in the morning. A lot of times he's up before I am. This is a miracle that he is up, and he can't go back to sleep. And so God has really put us on the same schedule. So if there's a night person, a day person, and usually they're the ones who marry, you know, rarely are you both night or both morning people. So if you that pray that God will put you on the same schedule. Don't try and get your husband on his schedule. And don't do what I did that just, I mean, eventually, I mean, for a time we have to adapt ourselves to our husband. But pray that God will put it rather than that's just your cross. If you don't ask, you don't have. Isn't that what we hear all the time? I already talked about on here about that. So I'm going to, right now, I'm going to stop the tape, get this set up for the system that I've been doing for 20 years. And I started it with just me. You may just want to start just with you. Or maybe your trouble is not you, it's your children. Whatever way, this is your thing. I'm going to give you the tool, and you do it the way. Or if you can't do it now, don't do it now, okay? This isn't to make your life more trouble. It's to make it easier. So if anything you see you can use, then use it. And if it's not going to help, don't do it. And certainly don't put your husband on the system, okay? If he asks to be on, be ready to pull him off at any time. But I'm going to tell you, somebody asked me, oh, does your husband homeschool with you? And I said, no. You know, many times he's offered, but it's never panned out. So I just stopped asking, you know, because I kept, oh, you know history. You love it. He never has done that. But, you know, he's my principal. And so I need that. You know, I'm okay. And I do it better. And I'd rather just do it. And it works out better. This is flexible. It's easy to change. It's easy to pick up again when you've neglected. You know, those charts and then you haven't done it for a week, and then you got to start over. I can't do that. It's easy to revamp if a child is gone or sick, and it's also easy to check and follow up. So if you would stop, and we're going to just take a break, and I'm going to set up for that. Okay, we're back, and we've got all the things that you're going to need. And this is something, most of the stuff you can get like at Walmart, or you might have around. Some things you will have to go to office supply, and I'll show you what those are. But basically, it's so hard to try and get it to explain, but I'm just going to show you, and I'm going to start and kind of work backwards. This is for letters. I had a plastic one, but it only went up to 6, and so when my daughter started doing chores, I needed to find, this is the only one I could find with 7. But it keeps them in order, and in the morning, I put them all out. A white one is always in the front. I kept them undone so that you could see the variety. and put them here. The oldest is in the back to the youngest in the front. And if you have room for yours, you could have them in there too. I stopped doing, this is the first year that I have not done 3x5 cards myself because I have an electronic organizer and it beeps for me. And then I have one on my computer too. So that's what I use, and I've gone to the big time, you know, with that. But anyway, so we're still with that with them. So anyway, they have their chores, and they get this card, and the first card that they see, this is my oldest son, he has praying, and they pray together. I think I shared that with you. They pray one-on-one, and they usually have a list. Now, we started praying with our family, so most of that, and this just says praying with the family, but the little ones still pray for different things. And when you have a child who cannot read, though she can read now, but I did it. This is so bad. You see the little stick figure? Do you want to zoom in on that, Dan? That's a little girl praying. And so it reminds her to pray. Is that good? Okay. When we were praying about moving up here, we had a lot of things. Praying for the land, praying for a bigger house, praying for this, praying for health for our family. And I had a little stick figure, and it just went like that, and so they could remember to pray. And then they really didn't have to look on it, and they prayed. And then when God answers that prayer, then we thank him. We put a TY by it, and we thank him for a while before we just take it off to thank him for what he's done. And it's a reminder that God does answer prayer. So the first card that they get is the prayer card. And then I have, and in the book, it says colored paper clips, those big ones. But what I found, especially with this boy, this is our, that's being... Can you see the edge? You see how it eats it up? And so, anyway, so I started doing these. Also, they were easier to lose. You know, it's not so easy because they're out there. So I use clothespins. They have colored clothespins, but if they're not a different color for each child, and we have too many, so it doesn't work for us. Or you can color these or whatever. It's just to see it, but they're initials on it. Anyway, this is Macy's, and she has an M, and she takes this off. And she goes to get her chore cards, and she knows she has to pray. So she finds somebody, and then she doesn't see one of the kids. She says, "Mama, will you pray with me?" And then she begins to pray and share with it. And it's so sweet to hear what they pray for and what they're thanking God for. The next card that she has, and I don't particularly have them in an order. There's two ways, and it says in the book, that you can either do one of two things. If they're the type that cannot follow directions, and they're not submissive and obedient children, then I would suggest numbering them in pencil in case you add in, but number them and keep them in a particular order and tell them they must do them in that order. Once they get to the fact that they're doing that, then you can start teaching them to organize their time, because that's more important. You know, that's just as important after you do that, that they can decide, I'm going to do this now, or I'm going to do this, and then they go through and they pull the cards that they just did, and then they put it behind, or they look them all over. What do I have to do today? But this is Macy, and she has to get dressed in the morning. When they're like 4 years old, usually they can start chore cards, 5 for sure. And basically, it's just the things to get themselves ready. And if they can go beyond that, they're really advanced. Most of mine can't do it till they're 6, help to do anything else. But she does her, gets dressed, then she has to make sure she has breakfast. She doesn't like to eat breakfast. And so she'll hide, she'll disappear, she won't quite get there. And so I have to make sure that she has it. With my son, he does not need to know to get breakfast. He'll eat, you know, 4 bowls of something and eat all the bread that's left and stuff. We don't have to worry. So this is not to give them cards to do if they're already doing it. It's to get them to do things that they're not doing, or you're having to tell them or checking up. Okay? The next one that she has, and she does help, is that she has to put away plastic cups and bowls out of the dishwasher. Somebody else does the silverware. Somebody else does the glassware. And so everybody does it. Another tip is that I use just a plastic cup with one of these in the top, and I can tell whether it's been done or not. If it's filled up, it's done. And if it's not filled up, it hasn't been started, and they forgot. So that's how we can tell. They have little things, but I've never been able to tell. You know, it's not a good indicator. If you forgot to put it back, then, you know, and then you're eating dirty and you're like, why does this smell, or, you know, something. So anyway, the cup works. The cup works. So anyway, so she puts away the plastic cups and bowls. She also has to make her bed. She has to go back and make sure that it's made. I use duvets. Do you know what a duvet is? It's like a slip cover for a comforter. And I buy the sheets. I'm going to talk about that. But I buy the sheets and I sew 2 together and I put buttonholes and I use that. And they don't use the sheets because it's all inside there. If you look at Sound of Music, which we just happened to watch for the 100th time this last week, when she pulls back her things, it's in a duvet, and it's like a sheet is touching her. They didn't used to have sheets, but it's very hard for little ones to make beds like that. So that's why I use that. That's their sheet right there. And then I slip that out and I wash that. Or first I just flip it. So anyway, we'll talk about that later. Anyway, then she does that. Then she has to do her hair. She doesn't want to do it. I think she wrote down tears on here. That is not my writing. Because she cries. She hates, you know, she has the long blonde hair, you know, and it's not. So she has to do it. When she's done, she puts it, I'm all done, and this is a dessert card. Now, the dessert card means when she's done, she takes it out of here. They stay in here the whole time. They do not walk around with them clipped on in their pocket. They will disappear. And my method is I'm not trying to always make sure that I know what's on the card and make a master list. If it's gone, it's gone, because I don't have time to do that. So the best way is to make sure that it never leaves this area. Put it in a central location. We have a prep table, you know, where they can sit at. It was on there. Now we've moved it over kind of in a workstation. So it's over there. But it has to stay there. And they get punished if I find that they've walked away with it. They've got to keep that. And they go to their next task and come back to this central location that they can come to. When they're done, they put it in this basket. This was presented to my husband at the evening meal. He doesn't do it a lot. I always have these great ideas, but it doesn't really. He really tries. He really wants to do things, but he was doing like this. He'd say, well, look at what old Macy's done today. She got her hair fixed. She got dressed. She'll do like that. But sometimes they're every other day cards, and they go, no, Dad, I didn't do that today, you know. And so it would throw him off, and he got kind of befuddled, so he stopped doing it. But anyway, for a while, he was really praising them for all the work that they did for our family, and this was a way to present it so that it was there, because I wasn't getting them all every day, and I was getting tired of it, so I thought, I'm going to put it on him to say, you better have your cards in. And now he did get into the habit of doing that. Anyway, these are the different cards. Now, here's another, I'll take Axel's. He has... Okay, you saw that there's blue card. You know the white card, you know the pink card, and the blue cards are everyday cards. And by the way, this is in, I got the color thing from the Sidetrack Home Executive. Is that right? Sidetrack Home Executive. In the color coding. But I messed up. Their yellow cards are day cards, and they're blue. So if you, whatever card you want for your day cards, you do it. I just messed up. I got confused. So anyway, this is our weekly cards. Now, what that is this is a Monday card. The initial of the child, if you notice, Macy had hers always up in the right-hand corner. If your children are all named with the same first initial, which a lot of you could have A1, A2, A3, like that, or just number them in their birth order and just giving them a number. So you could do that up there. B and, you know, whatever, or a little symbol or whatever. Just make sure you know that you're going to have to write this all the time. Okay, so Axel has his, and this is Monday. After we come back going through the Ozarks and all those bugs and stuff, that if he leaves the windshield a mess, then it's you know, you got to scrape it. So on Monday morning, not 11 o'clock on Sunday night, but on Monday morning, he goes out and he squirts it up and he wipes it down and then he parks it in the barn because it's too tall for the other. And we've had a hailstorm that destroyed and it just passed us right by and our cars are kept in there. But anyway, so we don't leave it. He does that and he brings it in. And so that's one of his Monday cards. We have that when we come back on Wednesday. One of the sons does my husband's car. He cleans that all up, gets the bugs off the front and things like that. And so this is something that I see that should be done once a week. And it doesn't necessarily have to be that particular day. If it's just like, well, sometime during the week, then you determine when it is. Try and keep fewer cards on Monday. Friday is okay, and that's a nice time to do a lot of big deep clean so that you have the weekend and then you can just relax. But you can move these, okay? You can write them always in pencils or you just scratch them out, and you can move those cards to fit your life. If it's not working here, where will it fit? But you begin with the day cards. The blue cards are the day cards. This is something, and he made his own card, take a shower and dress myself. He's a comedian, you know. He's 19. Dress myself. So funny. Anyway, he has to make ice cubes. We have an ice cube maker. It's him. We want well water ice cubes, and it won't go in through the thing. So he makes ice cubes. He has to check. He makes, you know, lots of trays, and he checks to make sure that it's done. If they're done, he doesn't need to do it. He fixes couch cover. Do you guys have those couch covers? We keep the couch covers to keep our couches nice. Oh, they're a nightmare. I just got throws, and they're not working either. I've got to come up with leather couches or something. But anyway, he would fix the couch cover as one of his things. Also, vacuuming. We have a big house. Even when we had a little house, everybody had a different portion to vacuum. It's not, I have the vacuum, and you've got to vacuum the whole house. Somebody would do the living room and hall, or we had living room, hall, and bedrooms was one. The office was another. Now we have upstairs and things like that. Dusting the floor, breaking down the sections, and they do the same one all the time. So when you go down your hall and it's not done, you know who didn't do it. But if you're rotating, then you go, they go, it wasn't my day. It wasn't my week. Well, I did it for her, and now you got a debate. You see, I don't have time for that, and I don't want to cause that. So they keep those jobs. And what we do is we graduate them up. When somebody younger is capable of taking that job, we move those jobs down to those children like that so that you don't overburden the older ones. And if you are delegating, then also your jobs will go down to the next person who can do it. As soon as you've got one that can clean showers, pass it down. Don't get in there and clean your showers and tubs and things. Pass it down. So these are the blue cards that they do. And when they're done, they're done. The only other card, so the yellow cards are the weekly. It's a once a week thing. But you would begin with finding out what do they do every single day. Once you get the everyday things, then you start to see, oh, it's once a week thing. And the monthly cards are the green cards. They're kept in here, and I'll show you how to file them. The green cards are for the once a month. I think I saw one in here. Did he do one? For instance, you want to have good coffee. You need to clean your coffee pot if you use it daily once a month. You have to do that. And you can use white vinegar is really the best, so it stinks up the house. You just pour a cup of that in and you do it. Well, that's a once a month thing. So one of ours has that. Now, I had the job with the one who can't smell. We're all dying and he can't even smell that it's brewing. This, you know, vinegar is brewing there. So I had to give it to one who has a sensitive nose, and we switch those jobs. And then if we switch it, then he gets the other person's and we switch, and I decide who switches what. So that goes through. But that's a once a month card. Now, today is the, what, 10th? 9th. Okay, it's the 9th. If I see, oh my gosh, look on the top of that refrigerator. Is this sick? Okay, who could I get that could do that? Go from the youngest one. Could my 5-year-old do it? You know, could my, you know, and you kind of quickly go up to see who could do it, who's not overburdened. Who could do it? If you think it's really better for this person, but she really has too much, then figure out what job can you take out of there, scratch that, put their initial on it, give it to that one. This is now your job. Now she, and this is what I want you to do. Then you call that person over and say, look it, I need you to keep this looking good. So get up there, get everything off. I'm telling you how to do it, okay? Everything comes off. Put it on a table, put it on a floor. Get it, wipe it down. Now, look at the things there. What really goes up there? Nothing. Do you know that? Nothing goes up there. So get this and get rid of it. Go put the trash away first, then sort it into piles, put it into those rooms, okay? And this is going to be once a month. Then, today's the 9th, up in this corner, remember where it had the Monday and the things like that? Up in this corner, I'm seeing if I can find a green card. Up in that corner, it would have that ninth, and then I would put it in the file to come up on the ninth. And if you do that, and every time you see something, or it's under here, or it's those kinds of things, it's not a daily thing. You know, that's silly to do it daily. Or waxing something. I don't wax every week. You know, it's like once a month that I do that. And then those cards come up. A once a week card used to be washing sheets. Now, my husband just goes, they are clean when they go to bed. We'll just do it once a month, because he started being the one to change the sheets. So he doesn't want to do it. Isn't that funny? He said, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to make the bed every day. And he was staying in it longer anyway, so he would get up and make the bed. So I was blessed. And then when I said, oh, I got to get somebody, and somebody was supposed to change the sheets, and he was busy doing something on the computer, so he said, well, I'll just do them. So he said, I'll just keep doing them. But now he said, well, let's do them every other week. And then it was once a month. But when I was doing it, it's every week. But that's why I like him to get involved. But I'm going to tell you a really good method about changing sheets. I don't know about you, but it used to just bother me to take off the sheets And it's just the whole room is just in disarray until they're washed and put back. The method is you just need two sets. Just need two sets. And you could change different colors, you know, or whatever. But you have two sets for that particular room. Okay? Everybody follow me so far? Two sets for that particular room. And you can get them at thrift stores and stuff like that. So don't go out and charge up a bunch of stuff to get. But anyway, or go in and see what you've got and pull them out. And then once you get the two sets of sheets, this is what you do. You keep them together either in like a little bag like this. This is from the girls' room. And we just hang this. It used to be on the door because they don't like their door shut. Or on the bed banister, you know, whatever. They hang it on the bed. Or I used to have it like this, and I would just have this sheet, the sheets folded up, and then I would use a ribbon with it. And these used to, and I used to keep it in my laundry room, I mean in the linen closet, but and this really helped organize my linen closet. Let me just tell you, the best way to organize it is to take it out. If you've got guest towels, tie them up. Just go at Walmart. A lot of times they have a bag of ribbons that are like a dollar. If you can ever get those, get that. And then just tie up these, and you can sort them. It, you know, single sheets, double sheets, you know, the different size sheets, the different towels, especially things that you're not using. This is from Grandma. She had needle-pointed all these, and so these are the pillowcases, so I'm keeping them together. I keep them in our armoire there, so it's very nice. I saw that in Victoria. They were displaying them, and I thought I could do that to sort. So anyway, I used to keep it in there, and then Don Aslett said, put it where it belongs, where you're going to use it. So the smartest thing is to keep it in there. So they can put it in a pajama drawer. They could have all the sheets in the one pajama drawer, up on the shelf in their closet, which a lot can't even reach, hanging up, you know, in a little something under the bed, but keep them in that room. When it's time to change sheets, we announce it's time to change sheets. I used to do different rooms on different days, and now the easiest thing for me to do is it's today's the day, and everybody goes in, takes everything off, strips the bed, puts that out in the hall, puts all the new ones on, makes the bed, everything's nice and tidy. Take all the dirty sheets along with the bag or the ribbon that was in and bring it to the laundry room. Once they're washed, they're folded, they're tied back up, or they're put in the bag and they're put back in. But from the moment you leave, the room is nice. And that's what I didn't like. And also, I do laundry Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Tuesday are towels, and Thursdays are sheets. And then Saturday or Sunday is those special things that your teens want to make sure that they wash or whatever. That's for special things. So, but the basic is just Monday, Wednesday, Friday, so that I can get a white, light, and dark. So anyway, that's a little tip for that. Now, I will tell you the way that I keep it. How much time am I doing? How much more time do I have? Okay. The other thing that I do, and I want to make sure that I get into the homeschooling part of it too, and that's it here, is today is, and I took it from, today's the 9th, right? Okay. These are numbered 1 through 31. Okay. These are the ones that you have to get at an office supply store. So these little blue cards, 1 through 31, and behind here are the months. Now, just for your basic stuff, you don't need the month cards, but in your handout and what you have is going to show that for advanced things like doing birthdays and stuff, you're going to need month cards. Also, the month cards are for when you're going to do deep cleaning, like you're going to wash all your comforters or something like that, and you do it every 6 months or something, then you would put that in to remind you of when it is, and that one's up front. The front one is October, and it has our birthdays, but that's in the back. Anyway, 1 through 31 is here, and so the front card, in the morning, this is what I would do, and I'm just going to show you. You can see this all right, right? Okay, I take the cards, and I always, when I do laundry, when I do anything, food, same thing, left to right, oldest to youngest. I can't think if they're all over the place, left to right. So I put Macy's down, then I put Tara, then I Easton, Cooper, Axel, and Dallas. Now I have them all in a row. Okay, they should have, and they would have, all the pink cards would be up. Then I would just take out, in front of the 9th, I take the 8th, I put it in the very back, okay, take the 8th out and put it in the back, and the front one, the date that you're on, is up, okay, and I have all these cards. Now I just take these, and these are all the weekly cards. Macy never has any weekly cards. Cooper has a couple. I've got these guys out of order. And then it's mostly the older ones. Okay, I did have this is the 9th, fill all salt and pepper shakers. Okay, Tyler does, fills all salt and pepper shakers. We got them all over. She does that. So then I just kind of deal these out onto it with looking at the initial on whosever card it is. I don't look to see what it is. I just quickly put them out for that day. Okay, then I go through. Now this would have the card that's up like this. I would take these out. I would take all these out, any yellow or green, because the dailies stay, and I just put them in a pile over here, and then I'd set it for done. Okay, the pink in the back, the white in the front, and it goes here. Take these out. Is that, you following me? Am I going too fast? And it doesn't matter the order, because I don't make my kids do them in any particular order, and I go through all of them like that. Once these are done, I sort them. Now, sometimes you're going to see they couldn't do it today. Mom, I can't get it done. That's okay. We'll do it tomorrow. Just put it behind. And then they have it. So not all the cards that you have may be Mondays. You have to kind of sort those to make sure. All the Mondays, Tuesday. When we have a really crazy week like last week, we had to work ahead. We were going to be gone to do some filming, and we were going to be gone. So I had them work ahead. You know, we were going to be gone for the shoot on Thursday. Wednesday, you got to get all your Thursday cards done. So we do all that. And then I sort these. And then with my little calendar that just happens to fit in here, then I can see the next Monday is the 15th. I look on my calendar. That was a Monday. Next, and I put it in the front of the 15th and put all my Monday cards in there. This, the green ones, it's the 18th. That would go near the back of that. Why this is in there. Oh, that's because he never got around to it. So he's going to have to do it again. So it comes into that. It's when they get it, when they're supposed to do it, not when they got around to it. He's the one who does all our computer stuff. So that's how we do it. And then when the morning comes, this is before, while she rises, while it is yet night, it's all set up there. And in the morning, they can get in and do their chores. And you're going to find that it really shows incentive, because until they get their chore cards done, they don't go outside. Until they have their chore cards, at lunch, they get a little piece of candy or a licorice or just, you know, something like that. During the summer, they got a push pop after lunch. If this was not up, they didn't get anything. One, they have to make sure everything's cleaned up. The whole lunch is completely clean. Then they can ask for lunch. And the first thing I do is to look, is your card in here? It isn't in here. You're not getting anything. Same way with dinner at night. If they're not the older ones, they won't get anything. Now, some of them, if they're doing afternoon chores and that's all that's left, that's okay. The little ones basically will always get done before noon just because of the way we have it. But the afternoon, the older kids may not get done. But if we have a nice dessert and they're not done, tough. And if they want to go do it then, go do it then. But you can't do it. Have a time when it's supposed to be done. Basically, we have it all the way until dinner time or they don't get dessert. Don't have it before they go to bed or they'll just wait and do it. You know, because they don't want to go to bed. So don't have it. That's the time. You have to have it done by that time. Have a time. One other thing is making sure that if they put a card as done and it is not done, they're lying. And we punish severely for lying because God hates a liar. It's an abomination to him. So that is, if it's an abomination to him, that's going to be more severe. So we don't put up with any kind of lying, twisting, or hesitating and say, yes, ma'am, I did do that. If they just don't say anything, they get punished for not saying something right then. And we also punish less if they come and confess themselves rather than being told on. If they're told on, they're in big trouble. But if they come and they go, they usually run to get, yo, I'm telling. I'm and they're coming to tell themselves, you know, because they're going to get into trouble if they're told on. So that's a good thing to instill. No lying in your house. I'll clean these up later. One last thing. You can incorporate this into your homeschooling by putting your cards down what you want them to do. I'm going to jump way down because I've already gone over this. It's okay? 2 minutes. Okay. If you have, for instance, on the blue cards, you would have, this is maybe for elementary school, read your Bible. You could have them reading their Bible or listening to Bible tape. I use a picture with a little thing like that. Learn your Bible memory. Read 2 to 3 chapters or a certain amount of pages, okay, so that they can do it themselves. You have to go through 2 chapters. And they might log it on what chapters they're doing. Do one lesson of math. Do typing for 15 minutes. Have a timer there. Trace and cut out states and paste. They could have a card for each one of those. And you determine or your husband determines whether you're supposed to do them before chores or after chores. We switch all the time.